Robert Shea of Grant Thornton, formerly of the Office of Management and Budget, and led President Bush's performance management agenda when he was there. Chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee, Congressman Paul Ryan, and the ranking member of the Senate Budget Committee, Senator Patty Murray of Washington, introducing a bill to create a commission that would expand the use of data to measure performance across government. I imagine, Robert, based on what you did when you were at OMB, this is kind of like mother's milk to you. Is that fair to say, Robert? Thanks for being on the program.
Thanks for having me, Francis. You know, generally it's hard to get worked up about a commission. But this is one that seeks to figure out a way to tap into the rich resource that's all the data collected by all of the agencies and programs and see if we can make it easier for evaluators to find out what programs are working and which ones aren't. I think there's really, really an exciting opportunity to tap into a new way of researching programs.
Charlie Clark at GovExec reports this panel would have 15 months to make recommendations on evaluation criteria and establish a government-wide data clearinghouse that would merge data sets to inform policymaking. Now, I went the same place you did at when I read about this and then went back and looked at the bill, and that's, what do we need another commission for? Is a commission necessary to do this, or is there significance that Chairman Ryan, former Chair Murray, are giving this their imprimatur?
Right now, evaluators have to go agency by agency on an ad hoc basis and relearn procedures to get access to data for the purposes of conducting an evaluation. If you can centralize it, come up with a unified set of procedures that evaluators have to go through to make sure they're getting appropriate access and that privacy is protected, then I think it will make it much more efficient. It could really dramatically reduce the cost of conducting program evaluations.
So you didn't use the word, but the word that I hear between the lines of what you just said is standards, that establishing standards will make this process a lot easier and I imagine a lot cheaper. And I guess the other piece of good news here is there's money attached to this idea.
It is. It's not a big coster because you'll be asking agencies to pony up some money to pay for the commission. It's my understanding agencies are excited about this, bring some rational process to the way evaluators apply for and get access to data. I do think that standards, not only standards for the data that is collected, but standards for how you would determine who is an appropriate evaluator, what purposes they would have to use to justify access to the data, things like that would really improve the process by which evaluations are done.
So the commission would have 15 members, would have a director, you would have folks appointed by each of the parties in each chamber, so you'd have House Republicans, House Democrats, Senate Republicans, Senate Democrats, and also the White House appointing 3 members apiece out of each of those 5 operations. And there would be people with data management background, statistics background, economics background. It sounds like they're trying to get people in who really know how to do this stuff rather than just choosing people to give them kind of an extra chit or resume patter.
That's right. I hope that's the case because this is not easy stuff. The data that's collected comes from all walks of life, all different types of agencies and programs, some of it of the most sensitive nature. So, and also evaluations. The kind of information you need to conduct impact evaluations to determine whether or not programs are actually having the intended impact on their target populations, those are pretty sophisticated questions, and you need people with a pretty sophisticated background to be able to help Census and the other statistical agencies navigate these waters.
There's a big winner here, and winner's the best term I can think of. I'm not sure it's entirely accurate because that implies losers, and I don't see losers here. But the potential winner here is the Census Bureau because that's where this would live. What's the significance of that, if any, in your mind, Robert?
Well, you know, we rob banks because that's where the money is. You collect data where you go to get data from the agency that collects the most data. If you want to talk about it's not a gold rush, it's a data rush. And census collects a great deal of data, more than any other agency. They are routinely getting requests to access that data for the purposes of conducting studies of all kinds, including program evaluations. So they've got a real history. If they can be the central repository and arbiter of access to data across the government, they're in a good position to do it. They are a winner as far as, you know, being the head of this commission, but they'll also take on a great deal of responsibility if indeed the commission ends up recommending that census have this central role.
Data was one of the major topics that my colleague Jason Miller took on with Brian McGrath, the chief information officer at the Census Bureau, on a recent edition of Ask the CIO, and you can find that at federalnewsradio.com. Just search on Ask the CIO. My guest is Robert Shave, Grant Thornton, looking at this commission proposed in a bill from Congressman Paul Ryan, Senator Patty Murray. The commission thing we talked about at the beginning of our conversation, Robert, what has to happen with this 15-member organization if this bill is passed, the president signs it, to make sure that it doesn't just put out a white paper within 15 months, the clearinghouse is established, momentum completely disappears at the end of the Obama administration, and all of this is ignored, nothing ever happens?
Well, the real promise lies in the fact that it is so bipartisan. A Republican and a Democrat co-introduced the bill. It's been dropped in both the House and the Senate. But OMB, the deputy director of OMB, put out a blog post today reminding people that a similar commission was proposed in the president's budget this year and lauding the introduction of these bills in the House and the Senate. So you've got real bipartisan... and I don't remember an issue for which there was such unanimity of support. So... though many things, I think, are at risk of not surviving a presidential transition, I don't think this is one of them. I am concerned about the short timeline. You know, I think it's got an 18-month time frame from the date of enactment. That may not be long enough for the commission to really tackle these issues. So I think I'd recommend that we consider extending the life of the commission a little bit, or at least have an opportunity for a renewal that's built into the statute.
And depending when it would or wouldn't be passed and signed, that would bump up almost directly against either the end of the Obama administration or the beginning of the next president's administration, whoever the 45th president may be.
That's right. And though I think this is a really important initiative, and many think it's an important initiative, I'm not sure it would rise to the level of import that people would be paying attention to it at that time. So again, extending it at least beyond the presidential transition so that, you know, more important things are taken care of would be important.
So the bipartisanship element of this that you mentioned a moment ago is also something that jumped out at me, Robert, because we didn't cover the doc fix compromise and agreement on this show or on this station very much because it's not really in our lane. But what happened there was so significant to me as far as Republicans and Democrats, both sides of the Hill, talking to each other and compromising, and not everybody got what they wanted, but everybody got something they wanted, and everybody won. And it was an overwhelming success, at least if you look at the votes. And it's important, I think, for folks to go and look at that. We'll put some references to that at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth later today. There's a tone, a tenor that is breaking out. I don't know if it's spring or if there's something in the water or what is going on. But we had that doc fix thing. I had Senator Johnson, the Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Chair, on the show yesterday. He and all 15 of his colleagues on his committee, Republicans and Democrats, agreeing on co-signing a letter to President Obama about inspectors general. These are all small things in and of themselves, but they add up to a picture that I don't think we've seen from the Hill in a long time. Am I misreading the signs here, Robert? Am I too optimistic in trying to tie all of these dots together?
I am always optimistic. As you know, so much gets done in this town that's not the subject of headlines. So the American people, you know, despite what we know to be a pretty partisan town, they get a pretty warped picture of how things go on in this town. Having said that, there has been a lot of partisan bickering, and progress has been impeded as a result. We do see a great deal more bipartisan cooperation, a lot more things getting done. It's got to be a function, at least in part, of Republicans wanting to demonstrate leadership as they assume control of both the House and the Senate. Whether it survives is a big question. There are going to be a lot of major issues that are going to have to be confronted. And, of course, the major ones are our fiscal condition. There are structural imbalances in the government's finances that will take heroic bipartisanship to resolve. I hope this is the beginning of a new era during which that bipartisanship can emerge and tackle even more important issues, but that remains to be seen.
Put on your Capitol Hill experience hat for just a moment. How can we tell 6 months from now, a year from now, or maybe even sooner, whether these are building blocks to more successes like we've seen, or whether this is just a bunch of bricks that turn into a wall?
I would ignore some of the top line sniping about the budget and pay closer attention to the orderliness with which the budget gets put to bed. I would also look closely at the presidential debates and platforms for signs that some of the major issues like Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid reform are being talked about responsibly.